And we're live.
All right.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Radio Free Nintendo, a live Nintendo podcast for grown-ups, ..
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much for coming. I'm your host, Jonathan Metz, and with me today, James Jones.
Hello.
Drinking his water, John Smooth Lindemann.
A man of leisure.
Okay.
That's our co-creator, Mike Sklins, over there. And at the end, Carl Red Velvet Castaneda.
They're not going to get that joke.
No, we do, though, and we appreciate it.
They will get it.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming.
Yes, thank you very much for coming. We're excited to be here. We are a podcast about Nintendo, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Does anybody like Nintendo? Good.
All right. What a cheap ploy for applause.
We do have a big Q&A segment coming up. That's a big part of our show. So if you're in the audience, start thinking about what you want to ask, okay? Because we really want to get a lot of interaction. And we have some prizes up here. So not for asking questions, but for answering some musical trivia. Starting off, I thought we would, the 3DS is coming out in a couple of weeks, and that's pretty much played out. I mean, we've been talking about 3DS for 2 years. I figured let's talk about Wii HD or Wii 2, or I prefer Super Wii. That's my favorite name for it. That's the cutting edge. And, you know, right now we really don't know that much about it, which is great because that means we don't have to compete with the truth, right, John?
That's right, that's right.
You just make everything up.
It's a mere formality.
Yeah. So first off, I thought, I think the interesting thing about Wii 2 right now is, like, when is it going to come out? Because Iwata and Reggie have been talking lately, and it sounds like it's maybe not coming out this year. That seems to be a likely scenario that it's coming out in 2012. And I think that also begs the question, what are they going to do with Wii this year? Because Wii sales have been slowing down a lot. If anybody has been to the Nintendo booth on the exhibit hall, the only Wii game they're showing is Mario Sports Mix, which is also the only Wii game that's come out in the past 5 months from Nintendo since Donkey Kong Country Returns. So it seems like Nintendo's getting ready for the next thing. You know, they don't seem to be, and Square Enix made Mario Sports Mix anyway. It's not even a Nintendo game. So what the hell is Nintendo making? I mean, they've got a Kirby game coming out. That's HAL, but, you know, that's kind of a Nintendo game. That's coming out sometime this year. The Last Story is maybe coming out in America, probably not. And Zelda, which may not even come out this year, according to,
May not even come out on Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have another Twilight Princess on our hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's hope not. I like Twilight Princess. The first time I played it, it was called Ocarina of Time.
Dropping bombs.
Snap. Harsh.
What do you guys think? When do you think we're actually going to see Wii 2, and why will it come out at that time?
I would probably guess fall 2012, late fall 2012. November is their sweet spot for releasing consoles. And it's not coming out this year, so fall 2012 just makes sense. They'll probably have something minor at E3, and we'll see, an expanded, sort of like an E3 06 at next year's E3. And fall 2012.
Did any of you think they're going to talk about the next console this year's E3?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think they'll do that token, like, we are planning for the future, something will be coming, but we will not tell you absolutely anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a full-blown announcement.
They'll hold an empty box on stage.
So it could be that vague, or do you think it's one of those things where, like, Iwata holds up his revolution, back in 05?
Yeah. Well, empty box.
It's coming. It'll be three times more powerful than the GameCube.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So speaking of the next Nintendo console, what is it? I mean, we could probably make a long list here, but what does it need to add or fix to the current situation? Let's assume it will have some kind of HD graphics. I think that's pretty obvious. They have to do that.
Yeah.
So, but that's not going to be the defining characteristic of the console, probably. Do you think motion control will still be the thing about it? I mean, is that's not really special anymore, is it, with Move and Kinect out now? Does Nintendo still own motion control? Can they center their entire console strategy around it?
I don't think it's going to be their, main gimmick, if you will, but it'll definitely still have motion control because I don't think they'll want to get rid of backwards compatibility with all those Wii titles. They're always going to want to keep the last generation games running on the new system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, yeah, the Kinect is on 360 and Move is on PS3, but every Wii game is tied in with that Wii remote, and they're not going to let that go. They still own motion control.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it'll definitely still retain that. For me, it's just got to have a competent online system, which is probably far off the wall from what it's actually going to be.
It's got to happen. 3DS is a step in the right direction.
It's still friend codes. It's still
common online system.
Yeah, I mean, they really need to ditch friend codes entirely.
Yeah,
I
it's terrible.
I'm with Carl. I mean, they really need to step up in the online arena. I think they'll still have...
Not just a number.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they could really get away from the control scheme now. I don't really think they would want to just because it's been so accepted by the market.
Do you think the new... Do you think the next system's controller looks like a Wii remote?
I probably can't because, at this point, what more can they do with that?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, they probably want to do something different so they can once again say they've been disruptive or whatever adjective they're using to describe their behavior in that particular press event that is in some way or shape or form saying that we're different. So they can't come out there with something that looks the same because then we'd make fun of them more than usual.
Although they do tend to iterate on their hardware now rather than just completely overhaul it. Well, they overhaul it with the Wii, but it just seems
sort of
starting with the DS.
The
well, yeah, I mean... People have had 3DSs in front of crowds at the show, and no one's even realized they were holding a 3DS. So
yeah.
Also, the fact you can just completely turn off the 3D—it's kind of a strange message. But I mean, that's the whole thing. The thing that kind of surprised me with the 3DS is that it didn't really change the gameplay experience necessarily. I mean, maybe later games will do that, but I mean, outside of the 3D. It was kind of a little bit less than I expected.
The DS was wildly successful. Why would they completely rearrange it? They have no reason to, and I think it's going to be the same thing with the Wii.
Well, usually they do something that fundamentally changes the way games are played on it.
Here's the difference, though. With the DS, it's still wildly successful, and people still play them. With the Wii, I mean, I haven't touched mine, and I played Metroid over the summer, but people don't play their Wiis, a majority of them, who have, the mainstream consumer. So they're going to need to do something to get those people to start playing again, and they can't just release a slightly different version of the same thing like they are with the DS.
I think a lot of third-party developers have become kind of jaded with Wii. I mean, there was definitely a lot of enthusiasm in the beginning, and there were a lot of companies like Ubisoft who were releasing a lot of games on the Wii and selling a lot of copies of them. Sorry, James. And that enthusiasm seems to have died down a lot. There's still a couple of companies making specialty products that they're, Just Dance 2 was a huge hit, hard mm-hmm. to believe. Especially the amazing thing about that is it's a sequel. I can understand people getting fooled with the first Just Dance.
Yeah,
what's incredible is they seem to have actually sold another Just Dance game to people who bought the first Just Dance.
And Dance Hero also rumored.
Yeah, Dance Hero's.
I can't wait for that. I want Dance Hero, Def Jam, Rapstar. That's my killer app.
Oof. Dance Hero, Warriors of Dance.
Warriors of
Lords
Dance.
Lords of the Dance.
Starring Michael Flatley. Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of companies, especially EA, you can tell even when they talk about the Wii, they're frustrated with it. They can't seem to figure out what games sell on the Wii.
Nintendo games.
And dance games.
Yeah, other than this weird niche of first-person shooters that seem to be coming out with, GoldenEye and Conduit 2, which is
someday
maybe coming out eventually.
Yeah.
it does seem like the third-party releases have really slowed down, and a lot of them are either really specialized at this point or they're super mainstream to the point where they're almost not even games like Just Dance. Ooh. So I think Nintendo has to do a lot to energize the third parties with a new system and say, hey, it's not going to be like last time where, you sold the one game in the beginning and then nobody ever... I mean, the problem is the mainstream has stopped buying Wii games. We still buy Wii games,
Yeah.
But I think the average person bought a couple of games right off the bat back in 2007 and... They haven't touched it.
They just want a Wii Sports.
Or they just still play Wii Sports, yeah.
Right, well, I mean, and the games that we're buying are mostly Nintendo games at this point.
Well, I mean, what I thought was interesting, I saw an interesting stat over the last 12 months that the 360's actually outsold the Wii.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff to Nintendo. I mean, regardless of how the console is perceived by the press or by anybody else, that's the kind of stuff that's really troubling to Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bottom line.
Or to investors,
yeah.
To be more specific.
And I think what's troubling to Nintendo is that 360 sales are increasing, even though the system is now going on 6 years old, whereas Wii sales are declining pretty rapidly. And their software releases are doing pretty well. Donkey Kong sold well. Kirby did all right for them. But their hardware sales are really going down. And the thing about Nintendo is they make money on the hardware. So from their investors' point of view, they want them to release a new system often. They're not on a 10-year console cycle like Sony. They can't be. They have to make money selling
and
a new
Wii
system.
It's pretty much saturated at this point.
Yeah. So, you know, I think they need to figure out a way for third party to assure third parties that their games are still going to have a market 3 years after the next system comes out. And that's been a struggle with Wii for sure. And, you know, the HD is maybe part of it. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what approach Nintendo takes to try to keep development costs down on their new HD system, because they talk about that a lot. They give a lot of lip service to the fact that development costs are rising all the time and HD games are very expensive to make. But I don't think they can run away from HD in the next generation of their system. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of tools they try to put out there to make it cheaper, especially for Japanese companies, because a lot of the Japanese developers that Nintendo relies on have been reticent to move into the HD era. It's finally happening now, but the budgets are really big. So I think they have to figure out a way to kind of help ease along some of those developers and help them keep up with the technology.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's about time. I mean, if you're not HD yet, you...
What are you waiting for?
Figure it out. You know, it's 2011.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What does the new system need to avoid? Any mistakes from Wii that they really got to make sure they don't repeat?
Friend codes.
Yeah.
Friend codes. Yeah. Anything resembling friend codes.
The deluge of accessories. So I own somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 pieces of hardware that go with my Wii.
Why?
Do you have, like, the tennis rackets and stuff?
No. No, but if you think about it, I've got multiple pieces for each Wii remote I have.
Sure.
Because if I want to play this game with three people, I need to have three different pieces of plastic that all go with my the Wii remote for this player.
Yeah.
So it stuff starts to add up, and it's stupid, and there's no reason why they should have put out that much garbage for it. I don't need that.
Yeah, I have two of the old classic controllers and two of the black ones.
I do have two. I have...
Why?
I have a black one and a white pro.
I just collect controls.
Take that.
You know, and I think the ultimate useless accessory, unfortunately, right now is Wii Motion Plus.
The Zapper.
It's Wii Motion Plus because it has the most potential and it's been used the least.
Yeah. It doesn't have market penetration.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Wii Speak, it was actually a good idea. So the problem
with
Motion Plus is...
with the room.
Motion Plus came out 2 years ago, and most of us own one game that actually supports it, you know?
Yeah.
And the third parties definitely don't seem to be embracing it. They don't seem to see the value in supporting that. I mean, if you look at the sales of Red Steel 2...
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, I don't even own a Motion Plus.
Yeah. And at this point, at this point, all new Wiis come with you know, Wii Remote Plus, so it has built-in Motion Plus. And other than Zelda, I don't think there's a single announced game of any real... What?
Conduit 2 actually is announced to use it.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Very true.
It's going to be very minor but functionality
and,
in that game.
And they use everything. Everything they can check off the list.
That's true. That game supports Wii Speak.
You're going to run into anything. A problem where you need a...
It doesn't support Wii Speak, actually.
Oh, it only supports the headbanger, the headset, yeah.
Which is an even more obscure accessory that didn't need to exist.
Yeah.
You're going to run into that problem where if they want to make a game that uses Wii Motion Plus, they're also going to need to make sure it works without it if they want to sell any decent number of copies.
Which
or bundle
the purpose.
It.
Yeah, so like, it'd be like a lot of iPhone games like support the accelerometer and the gyroscope, but if you don't have the gyroscope, it just works with the accelerometer kind of thing.
Right.
I think this is a huge failing on Nintendo's part because they haven't shown the third parties that Wii Motion Plus is worth supporting. Even Nintendo's only released like two games that actually support it. One of them was Fling Smash.
I don't know why it wasn't.
That's
just
not
only
a game.
Release.
That does
but
not
it
count.
Seems like they must have been working on that technology. Why would they wait like so many years to put it out? Why didn't they just release it with the Wii?
Cost.
Yeah, I think at the time it wasn't cost effective. But I think it begs the question, like, was it worth putting out there? I think for Nintendo, it was worth putting out there. They sold a shitload of Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell a lot of Zelda, too. But for third parties, it's like, what's the point? You know, why would we support this? And that's a real problem, you know. And the other thing about Motion Plus is it doesn't drastically change what you can do with that system. It's an enhancement of what Wii already does.
Right.
And I think also to the end user, to the mainstream user, you can't really show on a commercial what the difference is with when playing with Motion Plus. It's not really clear.
Well,
because they've already
still
got
waving, your
waving
hands
their arms all over the
place. Yeah, well, and to that point, though, when you show it to some people, some mainstream players, they might not immediately understand what is significantly different from what they could do before to what they could do now.
Right. And even in some of these games, you can't really feel the difference in some cases.
Yeah. I mean, certain games where
it's optional.
Like, and even in Resort, only about half of them, it makes a hugely appreciable difference.
Right.
And that does not include any of the ones where you're on jet skis or things like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could do canoeing with the original Wii Remote.
I'm pretty sure you shouldn't do canoeing with any Wii Remote.
Speaking of accessories, do you have the blow-up canoe that you plug your...
No, no, but we did see that at E3, and we couldn't convince anyone to take a picture in it, so...
You know, and the other thing about Motion Plus is that at this point, the PlayStation Move has that built in. So the PlayStation Move can do everything that the Wii Remote can do and more at this point, which I think is a real problem for Nintendo. It's a real problem for Motion Plus, because if you're going to make a game that does all that stuff, why not just go ahead and put it on PlayStation 3?
Yeah, I mean, especially when third parties are worried about their stuff selling on the Wii to begin with.
Right.
Well, in some end, at least it's a plus, you know, if a developer makes a game, at least they know they can port it to another system. So if they were going to make a Wii Plus game, a Wii Motion Plus game, but they thought, well, maybe it won't sell enough, but we can port it to PlayStation, so maybe that'll help the sales a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that already with Dead Space Extraction.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm. Oh, that was kind of an ex post facto decision.
Yeah, Extraction wasn't a Motion Plus game in the first place anyway. But, you know, I do think with Move and Kinect out there, the razzle-dazzle of Wii Motion Plus is kind of lost. You know, I mean, it doesn't look all that impressive next to some of that. And it might actually be better for gameplay than that other, so certainly more than Kinect in a lot of cases. But it just doesn't make sense to the end user anymore, and therefore I don't think it makes as much sense to the publishers and the developers. So why would they support it? But and the other thing is, Nintendo hasn't supported it. You know? When was the last time Nintendo released a Motion Plus game, other than Fling Smash, which is free basically? I can't remember the last one that came out.
Yeah, it's kind of starting to become kind of Game Boy Camera-y.
Yeah,
you know, or the Poker Reader, the e-reader.
Yeah. The e-reader is probably a better example.
Yeah, the e-reader is a better example.
Yeah.
Because at least the Game Boy camera was fun on its own. Yeah. I can't have fun holding a Wii Motion Plus.
I don't know.
Don't finish that thought,
James.
Don't finish that thought.
I think another reason that we do need a new console is that you're starting to see games coming out on the competing systems that you really can't do on Wii. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the horsepower or it doesn't have the online connectivity.
Complexity, you mean. Not just visually, but the certain levels of dynamic in the gameplay that just can't be replicated.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And it's really sad to me playing a game like Dead Space 2, which I finished last week, and it's an awesome game. But it has all these really strong Nintendo elements in there, and I think the Nintendo audience would really latch onto that game and would appreciate it. I mean, it's got elements of Eternal Darkness in that your character's going insane and having these hallucinations. It's got these amazing zero-gravity portions where you're flying around, which Nintendo was working on a prototype for called Cosmic Walker that apparently isn't coming out.
John is the only person who cares about that game to this day.
You will not let it go. Sorry.
It'll be the next Steel Diver. It'll be out like 10 years later.
It's an astronaut game where you go on space.
Solar Jetman?
No.
No.
It's in full 3D. And it looked really, really cool, but Nintendo hasn't shown it in 2.5 years.
Well, so. Rock and Roll Climber looked really, really cool, and look what that turned into. it's a game where you climb a mountain and play a guitar at the top. I mean, what else does it need to have?
What else would you do when you get to the top of the mountain?
That really describes doing this podcast sometimes, James.
So, you know, and the sad thing is, Dead Space 2, you're not going to make a Wii version of that. I mean, you probably can't. There are probably certain things in that game that you, even if you dumb down the graphics and everything else, you cannot pull that off.
And that's why they got Dead Space Extraction instead.
Yeah.
Rail shooter.
They take out all the good parts of the game, which are exploring and upgrading your character. And, you know.
This is the part where we bag on critically successful games.
It's a more focused experience, though, John.
Yeah. Also, I think it's nice to be able to look at the enemies when you shoot them. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with those on-rail shooters is you see an enemy and it's attacking you, and then your camera just shifts away to look at something else. It's like, I was about to kill that guy, and now he's going to come up and slash me. Drives me absolutely crazy. sorry. It's a pet peeve. The on-rails games, they really drive me absolutely nuts because you can't control the camera.
We gathered that. We've
they
come
never
to
look
the...
where you would look if you were controlling the camera. It's
we get it.
Drives me crazy.
We okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Next topic.
One feature that I think would actually be kind of cool, and this is the kind of thing I can see Nintendo going after, is to try to bring the touchscreen type interface from DS and 3DS into the console space. And actually, I think if you look at the Sony NGP, you might actually see a way for them to do that, because the NGP has this touch panel on the back that you can use, so you're not actually looking at where your fingers are, but a cursor comes up. And so it's a way to sort of replicate or build onto the pointer functionality of Wii without having the very dicey situation of having to point your controller at a certain place, and it may or may not get interfered with if the window's open or something like that.
I don't like that at all. That would be terrible for me. With the PSP, the touch functionality is on the back, but you still have it's very tactile feel. It's so close to the screen that it's really not that bad. If you got it on your remote and you're looking at a screen, there's a total disconnect. It won't work.
Are you saying you're not a fan of UDraw?
I'm saying that I wasn't a fan of UDraw when I played it, and I'm still not now.
You reviewed UDraw, right?
Adventure.
I did, in fact, and if you remember, I did not like it very much.
I thought you spoke glowingly of Mr. Dude and his adventure.
Look, Pictionary is great, but Pictionary was already great.
I don't need a TV to play Pictionary.
I don't think anyone needs an $80 version of Pictionary.
Well, maybe you don't, but...
The kids
That's okay.
It.
You can actually now get the UDraw on Pictionary for much less than $80, so... Yeah.
Well, that means that I can buy it and then put it on the shelf and not open it.
Lindemann syndrome.
Yes.
All right. So one other topic I want to talk about before we get into Q&A is the 3DS is coming out. And
you can play it.
That's the elephant. Yeah, if you haven't been down to Nintendo's booth to play it, you should, because they have some good demos down there.
Face Raiders.
Kid Icarus.
Yeah, Face Raiders is great.
Face Raiders is the best DS game.
Face Raiders is definitely good, actually. But, of course, one thing we do on this show is we talk about old games as well. This year is the 10th anniversary of Game Boy Advance. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Hey, remember what, the Game Boy Advance or when it came out?
Remember when it came out. Yeah, and we all played Pinobee.
Oh, Pinobee.
No.
I played Pinobee.
You played Pinobee.
I had zero maximum velocity. But actually,
that
there
was brutal. That was a rough launch.
GBA eventually had some amazing games, and I thought might be fun to kind of go down the panel and talk about some of our favorite GBA games, because with 3DS coming out and the eShop in May eventually, Nintendo, it does have a virtual console on the eShop. They haven't confirmed that it's going to eventually have GBA games on it, but it seems
it will.
Inevitable that that's going to happen, and they'll probably charge you $15 per download.
Now that they've dropped GBA support from the system, right now that obviously there's no GBA virtual store, because you can just buy GBA games and put them in your DS. But
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
But that
they
got to
monetize those games somehow once that feature goes away
right,
in the future.
So I thought, let's look ahead and look back at the same time and talk about what GBA games we'd like to see available on the 3DS virtual console eventually, or maybe just your favorite GBA games. A lot of these are still, pretty easy to find out at GameStop or on eBay or whatever. So I thought we'd maybe talk about some of our favorite GBA games. And also, apparently, when you name game titles, people cheer.
It's true.
That's what I learned at Retronauts.
I learned that, too.
All right, so should we start over here? Or?
Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
Just by a show of hands, how many of you guys like treasure shooters? All right, pretty good number.
But no applause.
But no. Oh, well, if you want, you can applaud as well.
He hasn't named a game yet.
There was a game for the GBA called Astro Boy Omega Factor.
Yes.
Okay, so there we go. Mm. It is an amazing game. If you have not played it, find it. It is it's a treasure shooter, but it's actually pretty accessible if you're not that good at treasure shooters. Like, it's not Ikaruga, at all. And it's got a lot of personality since it's based on Astro Boy. It's got a lot of the Osamu Tezuka characters in it, and it's just really, really fun.
It can also teach you the value of friendship.
True, yeah. You gain, as you meet more people, it contributes to your soul and makes you a better person.
That's right.
A better robot person, to be specific.
Thank you, Neil.
I'm going to go with a game that I got as a review copy, and that is apparently incredibly difficult to find, and people love it. It's called Ninja 5-0.
Yes.
I've always wanted to play it.
It had a super limited release, and nobody got it, which is why there was no applause. It's fantastic. It's like Shinobi plus Bionic Commando, except it's set in the 1980s, and there's Beverly Hills Cop sound and music playing in the background the whole time. It's so good.
Who thought of this game?
Somebody who was really awesome.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to find, and it's a game that a lot of people love, so I think it's a perfect candidate for something like a virtual console where anyone can just get it then and really enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Except the only thing is that you will want to claw your eyes out. That is so difficult. Mm.
Isn't the premise of the game that you're this ninja who has this grappling hook that you can attach to all kinds of services and swing around on?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're also a cop. You're a ninja cop. Ninja 5-0.
Hence 5-0.
And you're a dog. you're also ninja cop dog.
I think Disney's coming out with that movie soon.
And the dog is a ghost.
All right, I got actually a triplicate.
That is not within the confines of the rules.
Well, I'll be quick. Guardian Heroes is one of them, which is a follow-up to Gunstar Heroes.
Wait. You mean Super Gunstar Heroes? Or
yeah.
No, it was Guardian Heroes, was it not?
Guardian Heroes is...
Is it...
So it's a Saturn
that's
game,
that's the
it?
Brawler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Advanced Guardian Heroes. Okay.
And also, there was a company that I believe has gone out of business called Orbital Media. And they made a couple of really, really good Game Boy Advance games. They made Racing Gears Advance, which was a really cool top-down racer, kind of like almost like Super Sprint style.
Is that like Carnage?
A little bit.
Does anyone remember Carnage?
I remember that name.
Okay.
No one remembers it.
It's a good game. It has the worst box art I've ever seen.
It's like
really ever.
It's like a guy in his cool shades and he has purple hair. He's like, I'm extreme. That's the awesome.
And then also, Scourge Hive. One I really like.
Oh.
Yeah, I like Scourge, and it's on DS too.
Yeah.
Which, on DS, it's basically a GBA game on the top screen. I mean, it's basically a GBA ROM on a DS card.
Yeah.
But it's still good. It's like this weird isometric Metroid game almost.
Yeah, I mean, there's some problems with kind of like the controls and stuff, and sometimes you kind of get stuck behind enemies and stuff, but it's really good. I mean, if you're into Metroid, and I think probably everybody in this room is, it's kind of a good clone in that respect.
It's a lot better than Landstalker.
That's true. Although some think that's better than Link to the Past. But,
So I'm actually going to cheat and go with a game that... So when I got noticed to think about a game, wasn't told it was for virtual consoles. This game may not even be workable, but my favorite GBA game is WarioWare Twisted.
Yes. Yeah, oh, that was my second choice.
Fantastic. Yeah. But I'm not sure they could put it on the virtual console.
I mean,
even with the accelerometer in the unit, it might be hard to recalibrate.
No, probably not.
Hands down, the best WarioWare game, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot better than Touch.
It is the best WarioWare game.
It absolutely is.
I mean, unless you're really creative with the DIY.
So, if anyone out in the audience played WarioWare Touched, the launch title for DS,
yes,
and they missed Twisted because it came out on GBA after the DS launch. Trust me, go back and play Twisted. It's much
You made
better,
the wrong choice.
Much better than Touched. Much better.
I, however, picked both, so...
Touched was better than Smooth Moves, though. Smooth Moves is definitely the worst.
No,
the GameCube one is the worst, because it's a GBA
game.
That's
the GameCube one.
Smooth Moves is the Wii one.
The
GameCube one is the one that's just... It's just WarioWare.
No, that game is awesome.
That game is a GBA game on your TV.
It is. Yeah, basically.
And I could already do that with the GameCube Game Boy player.
The Game Boy player, yeah. Mm. So, my pick is Castlevania Aria of Sorrow.
Oh, no.
Thank you. I think it's actually the best Castlevania game of all of them, really.
Ever?
Yeah, I really do. I think it's the best Castlevania game.
That got some boost.
Sorry. It's one of the only games I've played through, like, more than three times.
Really?
Which helps because it's really short, it was. And
Ever?
there's a sequel to it on DS called Dawn of Sorrow that's also pretty good. But
I love that one.
I think Aria of Sorrow is a little bit tighter and a little bit better. And it's the whole Metroidvania thing, but the way you get powers is that you kill enemies and their souls come out, and then you equip their souls. So basically, you use the powers of the enemies, and there's hundreds of these, and you can just kind of mix and match them in all kinds of crazy ways. And the game is so fast. It's so pretty on the GBA. It was a very late GBA game, and it's fantastic. So I would definitely say go check that out if you can. I think it's maybe hard to find now on a used store, but so it'd be a good choice for a virtual console.
Cool.
I have one more. I would really
yeah.
Love
so
to
do
see,
I actually.
I would really love to see maybe not
what?
A
double pack. Double
was.
Pack.
There
what
was.
What was the double pack? What was? Oh, with the
yeah.
You could probably skip Harmony of Distance, but yeah, okay.
I would really, maybe not on the virtual console so much, but I'm still to this day waiting for a remake of Metroid 2, because I've never played it. I've played a little bit of it, but it's just, I can't do it on this on the tiny Game Boy screen. Mm-hmm. I want a Zero Mission 2 for Metroid
right.
2.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, man. Yeah.
Also, Drill Dozer. Anybody?
Yeah. Absolutely, Drill Dozer.
Drill Dozer was very late in the GBA lifecycle. You might not have played it, but fantastic. Made by Game Freak, proving that they can do great games outside of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So good. Really good. Great puzzles.
And if anyone's playing Black and White out in the audience right now, you can probably connect with John Lindemann up here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm far enough into it.
Yeah, I'm taking your survey data right here.
Surveys. Nice.
He's been sitting there the entire weekend like, oh, my God, I got another survey.
All right, that lady in Castilia City is going to be so happy when I bring her all these results.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to shift into Q&A.
Yeah.
And we're also going to rotate a couple of our panel members here.
Hi.
So Neil and Carly are going to come up. Neil's the director of our website, by the way, Nintendo World Report. And our website just celebrated our 12th birthday, which, thank you, we're very proud of.
Hello.
I think if you rack your brain, you'll have a hard time thinking of many websites that are 12 years old, and especially ones that run like we do.
Yeah, so in honor of that, going forward, I'm going to act like I'm 12 years old on every single podcast.
You already do.
Like a plan.
It's no different at all. An upgrade. Yeah. All right. So for Q&A, here's what we're going to do. There's a microphone back there. So if you have a question or a comment or you want to shout out a game title or anything like that, you can go to the microphone. And while we do this part of the show, we're going to play some radio trivia. Does anybody know what radio trivia is? All right. Radio Trivia is a game that I co-created with our other RFN creator, Evan Birchfield, about 10, 11 years ago. And it's a game where we play music from video games, and you try to guess what game it is. So I figured this will be a nice background music during the Q&A. And if you're in the audience and you hear the music and you think you know what it is, jump up to the mic. And if you guess the game correctly, I've got some ridiculous prizes over here. Like, fabulous, fabulous prizes.
Oh.
Yeah, and whenever somebody gets a game right, we'll move on to another one. We have a bunch queued up here. So, Mike, can you get this first one started? And we'll start lining up for Q&A.
Also, I'm taking questions from our Ustream. I've got this streaming live on the internet.
Oh, great.
So
you're being watched,
people. I think 11 viewers in the chat now, and if I have any questions, I'll read them out.
Do you have any questions now?
Not yet. Someone's just said Earthbound.
There's a delay. They don't know that we're doing Q&A yet. There's a lag.
The wonders of technology.
Questions from the past.
Yeah. So, Mike, do you have some music queued up? Technical difficulties.
Do you want to do the first question, then, while we work on this?
Yeah. Okay. What's your name and what's your question? All right.
Canadian, just to throw that out there. you guys.
No, yeah.
It works.
All right, let's.
I have a response to that. Thoughts and comments about how Nintendo, they're really focusing on having low development costs for third parties.
Right.
Yeah, I think that is the primary reason why there's so much crap on the Wii. Like,
right.
I worked at Walmart and.
I'm sorry.
You know,
like
all the stuff that, like, okay, I still shop there, and all the games that are in that bin are just all garbage that, like, I wouldn't even touch. Now, with that in mind, with the low development cost, all the stuff coming out, do you think it's possible that Nintendo should actually bring back the Nintendo seal of quality that they mysteriously stopped using to avoid all this stuff? You know, clouding.
I can certify there are games with the Nintendo seal of quality on them that are utterly terrible and should not be played by anyone ever. But I know specifically you're referring to companies like Zoo Publishing who create games that, if I were to read off the list, no one in this room will have ever heard of them.
Who would believe that they're real?
I mean, even the seal of quality, it was like a marketing response to the whole, you know, crash, the whole video game crash. I mean, pretty much they wanted to.
This game would be good, we promise.
That our games go through some sort of
screening
quality assurance.
Yeah.
you know?
It's, yeah, and it was really BS. It's yeah. as much BS as blast processing. So the, and the Nintendo seal still exists. You can still find it on game packages. And all it means and all it's really ever meant is that the game is licensed to be played on a Nintendo system.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal. With Atari, you could make your own Atari cartridges and Atari could never have heard of you, and you could sell Atari 2600.
Well, I just
games,
know back,
that was a problem.
Back in like the NES days, that you know they actually did do kind of a screening, but like I think now more than ever, it's more important for them to actually do something because all this stuff, all these games, just you know, littering our eyes when we're looking at them in the game cabinets.
Right.
There were still a lot of crappy games on the original Nintendo, and you have the same problem with 360 and PS3, where you have bins sharing with Wii, PS3, and 360 all. A ton of crap games.
The reason you see them on the Wii is the development cost is lower, and there's a big install base. So it's you make this game for a fraction of the normal development cost, and you put it out on the biggest platform you can get it out there, and you hope somebody buys it.
The thing is, though, I mean, I think the reason why it seems more pronounced is because you don't see as many big third-party releases. So with the NES, you had the huge first-party releases and the big third-party releases and the crap. And there's really not as much third-party on the Wii, like the big releases, to kind of balance that out.
So last gen, all these publishers that, like Zoo Games and Phoenix Games, they were all on the PS2, and they created some of the most hilariously terrible PS2 games you've ever seen. And they're going to be around forever, and there's nothing that the platform holders can do because they still want that license fee. I mean, they don't care if the game's good. They're starting to get the license money out of it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with these guys. I think the volume of crappy games on Wii, I think the importance of that is overblown. The real problem is that there's a lack of really good third-party games, like really high quality. There aren't really AAA third-party games on Wii. All the AAA games are Nintendo's games. And I think that's a much bigger problem. And if we were playing all kinds of amazing games from EA and Capcom and Konami and Namco, etc., the games that they put out on other systems, but they don't make a Wii version or they don't make anything similar to that for the Wii, if we were playing all that stuff, nobody would really care about all this shovelware. Yeah. But the problem is when you go to the store, like Walmart, that's what you see, because the other stuff doesn't really exist. That's a much bigger problem. So I think the days of Nintendo approving games based on quality is long over. I mean, they did do that back in the late 80s because that was one of the ways that they sort of wanted to save the industry and prevent a second crash. But they can't do that now because the other companies don't do that. The last time I've heard of really anything like that was Sony with the PlayStation days, because they were, you know, there were certain kinds of games that they didn't want representing their platform, and so there were games that never made it over from Japan.
A lot, 2D games, a lot of
them. That was a long time ago at this point, and they can't do it because Microsoft and Sony, if they do that, Microsoft and Sony will say, we're not going to restrict your games, come over here.
You want to make candle makers? Do it!
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to happen.
There is a Wii game about making candles, I believe. I do believe that is a factual statement.
All right, thanks, guys. I'll let them
know. Thank you very much for the question. Do you know what game this is? Yeah, you have to go up to the microphone.
We only have one mic. This is a problem.
Yo, guide the microphone. Yes. Just say Mario 3 and you got something.
Mario 3.
That's right. All the songs you've heard so far are from the same game.
Somebody get the prize. I don't know who.
Yes, sir. What's your question?
Well, I just had a comment I just want to mention because Mike mentioned it, but I haven't played fan projects, but there is one called Another Metroid 2 Remake that's basically Metroid 2 in the Zero Mission engine. So I don't know if that's something you'd be interested in.
Yeah, I've seen a video of that, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, it did look pretty cool.
I don't know if they're ever going to finish it. Actually, my favorite fan project that's going on right now, there's a group that's localizing Retro Game Challenge 2.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much we want to publicize it, because I'm sort of afraid.
We'll get it killed.
Yeah, but actually, Ray Barnholt, the former 1UP editor, is like, he's involved with that project in terms of editing the text, I think. If you guys haven't played Retro Game Challenge, I really encourage you to go do that. It's one of my absolute favorite DS games. It's amazing. It's all these fake 8-bit games. So they're basically going back and like, they're making fun of the games that we used to play as kids by making new games that are similar to those but are full of jokes. And it's really, really good. It's like the ultimate, it's a mini game collection of mini games that you actually want to play. It's pretty amazing.
Except for Rally King.
Rally King is okay. It's just, it's repeated. That's the problem. The first time I think it's fine. But it also includes like an 8 to 10 hour Japanese RPG that's a parody, a really good parody of Dragon Quest. And that's just one of the mini games. So Retro Game Challenge 2 is a project where the same people at, what's the name? Marvelous made it, didn't they?
Yeah.
In Japan?
Yes.
They made a sequel that hasn't come out in America yet that parodies, it has some games that are like from Super Nintendo and Game Boy and I think TurboGrafx or Master System or something like that. It sounds awesome. So, yeah, these fans are translating it because XSEED apparently isn't going to be doing it.
No.
But, yeah, the Metroid 2 remake, it's going to get shut down when Nintendo starts their own, which I think is inevitable. They'll do it eventually, but I'm glad those people are doing it for sure.
It's a race to finish.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Speaking of rare GBA games, have any of you guys ever played Mother 3?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What do you guys think of it?
I loved it. I played it, I guess, like a year and a half ago, and actually... Well, the Radio Free Nintendo guys did a retroactive on it, I guess, and I was actually on that episode as well, but I think it's a fantastic game. It has a story structure kind of similar to, like, Dragon Quest IV, where you have the different stories of characters leading up to it.
Right.
And just the story, I mean, I think, like, the quote or some kind of tagline with it was, like funny, like, strange, and, like, heart-wrenching or something, and it really is. As dumb as it sounds, it's a really well-put-together story, in my opinion. Although, when it comes down to it, it's just Star Wars. But it's a great game. And that instead of being, like, the old RPG mechanic, you also have this kind of, like, timed button presses that go with the heartbeats of the enemies, which is really weird, but really cool.
I never understood that part of it. But yeah, if you're interested in hearing more about Mother 3, we did a couple of shows where we played it and then came on the show to talk about it together, and we had some comments and questions from the listeners as well. It's a pretty cool feature, so I hope you'll check it out.
I'm guessing you guys played the fan translation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the only translation there is.
I wish I could read Japanese, but I can't.
Yeah.
My friend actually put the Japanese version.
We're playing music from?
No idea.
No idea? No. Thanks for your question.
I don't either, if that makes you feel any better. And I've seen the list.
Hello.
I'm one of Nintendo's newer demographics, so I wasn't really into gaming before the Wii and the DS Lite. So a recurring theme today has been how, you know, Nintendo's saturated the market of casual gamers and how they need to draw back the third-party developers. So I was just wondering, do you think Nintendo's going to move away from people like me and more back towards the more hardcore gamers?
That would be a huge mistake on their part, because it made them a lot of money, first off, but it also built them a lot of mindshare that they had lost over the course of the years, because it got them attention in forms of media where they normally wouldn't be covered if it was just sort of a home of RPG shooters and action games. So a lot of what the end result for them was, not only did they sort of help expand a market that right now is expanding rapidly without them, but it also got them in coverage that they would have otherwise not gotten. So if they were to move away from that, it would be the ultimate and stupid move they could possibly do. And there's no reason why they would, because they constantly speak about the net gains they made by making these moves. What you might see more of is they try to be more balanced in how they cater to those two markets, where sometimes it feels like they move to one and then they move back to the other. They might try to be more organized in making sure both kinds of groups have their needs met.
I mean, James talked about mindshare, and I think it was very important for them to kind of still sort of reassert themselves. I mean, they've always been the kind of the family-friendly company kind of thing in terms of games, but I think with the Wii, they really just established themselves as the company for that. I mean, you know, if you have kids, you can just go out and buy a Wii, and you know that you'll have a whole bunch of games your kids will want to play. You know, they won't be shooting people in the face or anything like that. So I think the Wii, absolutely, they're not going to go away from that at all.
It's unrelated to Wii Sports.
Well, what about Face Raiders?
That's
a different question.
Touché, Johnny.
It's
touché.
Shooting people with propellers on their heads in the face. Okay.
Yeah.
Nintendo's whole strategy is to expand the gaming audience so they can sell more people, more systems, and more games. So the expanding market and mindshare, that's definitely here to stay.
I think one thing Nintendo needs to do better about the casual market is keeping them engaged over the long term. Because, again, a lot of people bought the Wii because their friends were talking about it, and they bought one or two games for it, and then they stopped playing it after a while, you know? And that's really a lot of lost money on the table, because the barrier of entry for them to play more Wii games is very, very low. It's very easy for them to do, but they don't really think about it in those terms. So I think one problem for Wii is that it was so much associated with Wii Sports in the beginning that a lot of people think they bought a $250 sports game, you know, and Nintendo really has to tell, you know, they have to do a better job of explaining to people that this is a gaming system, and that there's a lot of different kinds of games you can play on it, and a lot of really good games that are for you, you know, that it's okay for you to get, because I think a lot of people who did buy it for Wii Sports and then wanted to follow that up with other titles ended up buying a lot of the shovelware stuff that our earlier questioner was mentioning, because, you know, that's what they saw.
And I'm not going to say it's shovelware, but one of the most successful games on the Wii is Carnival Games, because it was there, and it was in the marketplace, and it hit exactly the right follow-up point for Wii Sports. So it ended up selling some completely astronomical number that makes no sense if you think about it. But it stayed in their top-selling charts for months and months, and it baffled every person on this panel how it continued to do that.
Should we give away some prizes?
We probably should give away some prizes.
Does anyone know what?
Which one? Maybe we should just have them raise their hand.
You're wrong.
Kirby.
Which one?
They're all Super Smash Brothers.
Which one?
Sorry.
Who said Brawl? Whoever said Brawl, come up here.
Hey, he was up here earlier anyway. Yeah, come on up. You get a fabulous prize.
All right, give him one of the fabulous prizes. How about the shirt in German?
With
coffee stains.
Yeah, show that shirt off.
That's
perfect.
Right.
That's
awesome. This shirt says...
Perfect.
This shirt says... Exactly. This shirt says, in German, I am the biggest Pokemon fan, and it has a coffee stain on it. I don't know where that came. It's not mine.
Just wash it. You'll be fine.
Somebody got squee balls. Awesome.
Yes, sir.
So my question is kind of like the last one. Do you think that the next Nintendo game system will break out of its, like, kid and family, like, break out of the idea that, like, you know, it's so easy your grandparents could play it? Do you think it'll break out of it for the next game system, or should it?
Should it?
I think it should probably be more smartly marketed than the Wii was, because, I mean... Initially,
it was well marketed for what it was for the audience.
Well, I mean, initial Wii marketing was preposterous. I mean, two guys came.
Mega Man 2.
Awesome.
Come get your fabulous
prize. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Awesome.
I don't know what my answer was anymore, but it's irrelevant.
Yeah,
at this point.
I think you would only hear that in our panel.
How is this for a fabulous prize?
It's not.
This gentleman is getting one of our patented E3 2002 DVDs. Shine Get. This was the first ever E3 DVD made by any company. It's really cool. Now there's a lot of outdated gameplay footage on here. It's 4 hours long, but there's a lot of really fun stuff too. It's a double-sided DVD. You also get the infamous Grapple Buggy grappling
hook.
This is from PAX East last year. There's a really funny story that goes with this.
No.
Yeah. No, no.
I don't think I can say it up here.
You cannot.
Right? You'll have a lot of fun with that.
I think you could.
Yes.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, we got those out of the landfill right next to the ET cartridges, but we saved them.
DuckTales, by the way, the first video game I ever beat all the way through.
It just did.
You missed it. We were talking. There's a new game now, so if you know it, come up to the mic and say it.
So to answer the question we had earlier, which was how is it going to be able to break out of that image of that they had...
I mean,
we...
There's a line at the mic,
It's not Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Oh, he got it. Right?
Yeah, so I think Nintendo's not... They're not going to ignore the casual users that they went after so hard. I mean, it doesn't make any financial sense for them to do that, but I think they do need to do a better job of selling the system to people who used to play N64 and GameCube and Super Nintendo and who now primarily use Xboxes and PlayStations. They have to do a much better job of reaching out to
those people. They're doing a good job of that with Donkey Kong Country Returns and New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
It's not just the game making, though. It's a diversified marketing strategy. They adopted almost a singular marketing strategy for the first, I don't know what, 2 years of the Wii's life cycle?
Yeah.
And that was goofy. I mean...
But it was really effective.
Well, it was really effective towards certain demographics, but not towards others. And you have to try to hit multiple groups or have different ads targeting those groups.
I think the theme for Nintendo in the future is they need to be more well-rounded. It's not that they've done anything wrong in the past, but I wish they could do
more.
Multiple things right at the same time rather than going through these phases of appealing to this person and then this person.
Secret of Mana.
Secret of Mana is correct. It's chaos. It's all good.
Yeah. He already said what the answer was.
Yeah, well, we can just do both. We got prizes.
We have plenty of prizes, so we'll give you prizes.
We have plenty of prizes.
We have so many prizes. We have so much junk.
Come on.
The other person.
Yeah.
Both of you, come on.
Come on, both of you get a prize.
Yeah.
It was Secret of Mana, also known as Seiken Densetsu.
Both of you get prizes, so come up here.
But we have a lot more people.
We have a lot of prizes, so
go ahead and ask your question while we do.
We don't want to take them home, so please.
I brought them here to get rid of them. So
they are so valuable that we don't want to give them away. Don't devalue them.
Some of them we actually paid money for. For some reason.
Why do you have to admit that in a public forum, James?
There is a used DVD copy of Street Fighter, The Legend of
Don't
Kung
ruin
Lee.
It!
Anybody want it?
So she did. The House of the Dead Overkill PR pack that comes with a vacuum sealed shirt.
Awesome. It's in the shape of a VHS tape. I didn't hear the question. Sorry.
I actually didn't ask it, but
heard it.
Ask your question.
It was mentioned earlier about Mother 3 in the fans translation,
right?
And how that game is apparently never going to see the light of day in the U.S. Despite the fact it's getting huge press, even though. And the same thing is apparently happening to The Last Story and Xenoblade. How important it is for Nintendo to try to get some of these games that are getting huge press, even though they're not getting released, to bring them over to try to expand sales upon their respective markets, like with Mother 3, the RPG market, Last Story, and so on.
Apparently not very.
Yeah, I would argue that Mother 3 doesn't really get a lot of press, but The Last Story and Xenoblade, definitely, they are getting coverage. And The Last Story, we have impressions up on NintendoWorldReport.com if you want to read them, and we'll have more coming.
Sale pitch by our director.
Yeah. I am the director. So
go to the website.
I think The Last Story and Xenoblade, maybe we'll get both of them, maybe we'll only get one of them, but I think we're going to get at least one of them, likely The Last Story.
I mean, The Last Story is made by Miss Walker, and it was executive produced by, the guy who created Final Fantasy, Sakaguchi. So The Last Story seems like maybe a candidate, but even then I'd put its chances of coming to America at about 50-50 right now. Nintendo just hasn't catered very well to the RPG market, and which is really sad when they've actually got games that they own IP for.
They own a developer who makes RPGs.
Yeah. I mean, that game is made, and, I don't know what it cost them to localize it and bring it out in the U.S., but they seem to be not very enthusiastic about doing that.
I think the cost
really
is the biggest problem, because they localize games like Disaster Day of Crisis and Ubu 11 for Europe, and then they end up not selling well, so they don't do it for, say, the U.S., or they localize something for the U.S., and it doesn't sell as well as they'd like to, so they don't bother with the effort other countries. I think it's... majority of the issue is cost.
Yeah. But, I mean, a game like The Last Story, if they've got any sense, that should come out in America, really.
Yeah.
You know,
it's actually kind of a Western-oriented style of RPG, because it's a lot more action-oriented than... it's on a bunch of turn-based menus. And, I mean, the combat system would probably... elements of that game would resonate relatively well with Western sensibilities. Put it that way.
And they're only pissing off their own fans when they make games like that and then don't localize.
Look at this game!
Because we know what The Last Story is, you know?
Yeah.
And so we get upset when they don't do that stuff.
Yeah.
Next question, please.
I think it's the answer.
You
is
have a
it,
guess?
Super Mario Sunshine?
No.
No? Oh.
Next question, please.
Hi. I'm Dave, and I hope I can be forgiven for a slightly cynical question here. So yesterday I had the opportunity to get my hands on a 3DS for the first time.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot to like about that system.
Did you say, whoa?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Did your eyes pop out of your skull?
But I have one serious complaint about the physical design, the form factor of this thing. I refuse to believe that Nintendo can't make a nice, aesthetically pleasing handheld, given the DS Lite and the DSi and so on. So My question is, do you guys agree with this? I mean, you close it and it's like three different pieces of hardware.
It kind
of
looks like a taco.
Yeah, it's not
that
nice.
They have the Iwata Asks interviews on, I think it's Nintendo.com or iwataasks.nintendo.com. And they kind of talked about that, and that they want that the reason why it has that kind of like layered gradation of color is because they wanted to differentiate it more from the DS, so that way people thought it wasn't just like, oh, look, it's just another DS. They want to make it different. I do agree it looks weird, but I guess I kind of see the justification.
You're talking about the color gradient, though. Yeah. He's talking about the fact that it's like three layers of material. Which
that
I
also,
agree.
That's
it looks,
also
it looks
kind of part of the reason, too. Because the three layers
it's
are
so
part
unique.
Of the color gradient, making it look different.
There's the description actually made my head hurt. But it was like, well, this way you can – it's raised out so it's easier to open and crazy stuff like that. I mean, it's – they don't seem to be particularly concerned with aesthetics. However, I'm going to go ahead and say that my XL is beautiful. I love this.
I mean, if the question is whether we agree with you, I
do.
I think the 3DS has some design issues. They're minor compared to, like, the
it's
original –
like a netbook.
The original Nintendo DS was much worse, so I think they have come a long way, and I think they've learned some lessons about making a system look nice. But there will be a 3DS Lite, and it will fix these things, and
it will look like.
So I guess the cynical part of my question is: are they sandbagging with this thing? I mean,
no, it's just rushed. I mean, it really is rushed.
It is, yeah, not as rushed as the DS Fat, but still rushed.
That's part of it. Yeah.
The DS Fat, aka prototype.
It's very difficult to fit all of the 3DS hardware into such a small form factor to start with.
Right.
And I think there's just a limit to how small they can make the components, which is why it's so thick at the moment. But with time, I think that will change.
Right. We have a guess.
All right. So first of all, the song is Butter Bridge from Kirby's Adventure.
Not quite.
I mean, Butter Bridge.
Close, but no cigar.
Not quite.
What game is this from?
It's from Kirby's Adventure.
Not exactly.
This
person thinks he knows.
Shout it out.
That's
right. Come on up.
Kirby's Epic Yarn, a game you should all play.
Awesome game.
Yes, sir. Your question is.
So you were talking about earlier how Nintendo really needs to keep people playing their games. What do you think? You think that could be improved if, say, you could download new levels for Super Mario Galaxy, for example?
Well, yeah, actually, there are DS games that do have this sort of unlocked download content that comes through that are designed primarily to keep you playing the game. I mean, they're not Nintendo games, although they publish them, but all the latent games have that functionality where there's the download puzzles that come out weekly for a year, I think. And
Cross 3D also.
Yeah, has that.
Cross 3D is crack.
Yeah. But so, I mean... Yeah, it's that is one way that a lot of developers and publishers sort of make the game last longer and get people to continue to play it, and that does help to sort of cement a connection with the game and the system and vicariously the publisher and the developer. But that's a strategy they could employ. I'm not sure that it fits their MO.
The thing is with 360 and PS3 games, they do that. I mean,
but they charge you for it.
Well, the thing is the reason why they have so much DLC to begin with is because they invest so much money in the creation of the game.
Right.
They have to sit there and keep making money off of the game.
You'll see more stuff like that, but as far as like Mario Galaxy levels, I really doubt it because Mario Galaxy levels are very expensive to design. They're very painstakingly crafted.
Yeah,
it's not the kind of thing you can pump out on a weekly basis.
Could you see like new challenges on one of those levels though?
Sure. Yeah, kind of like in Mario Kart Wii where they. You know, they create tournaments.
Yeah,
out
they're
of
still doing
are
those tournaments for Mario Kart Wii. It's been three years since that game
came out. Yeah, that
kind
of stuff you'll see more of, but I don't think you're ever going to be downloading level packs for a Mario game.
Yeah, I mean,
I really don't.
They're very much about like what you get. There's nothing else to add to.
But didn't they do that with the e-reader
experience and whatever they sell you?
Didn't they do that with the e-reader though, where they had
that's
levels
philosophy.
For the
yeah,
Mario Advance games?
Well,
those were really hacked together. But yeah,
well,
that's good
for Mario Advance 4. They had that. Yeah.
Right.
If you own the e-reader and the game and cards.
And the cards.
So we've got like 4 minutes left, so let's get the next question, please.
All right. Anybody got a guess?
Well, this is Rainbow Road from Mario Kart DS. Yes.
That's correct.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Nice.
Get a prize, please. Next question.
Yo, other guy who was standing there ready to guess, come up to you.
Did you get it first?
Well, if you know what?
I mean, you stand there.
We have lot of prizes. Come on up. So why don't you both come on up?
Guys, come on.
Both of you come up.
We've got prizes.
So I was playing Dragon Ball Z, like, I think it was Budokai 2 or 3. And at the start of it, when I first was playing it, I was just, you know, going through the motions, and I just had my arm rested on my lap. But as I kept getting kicked, you know, when, like, my butt was getting kicked by an enemy, towards the end of it, I found myself actually, like, mimicking, you know, a Kamehameha and, like, yelling at the TV and getting really into it. I was just wondering if you guys ever had a game like that where you found yourself somewhere in the middle of it actually doing what the game was wanting you to probably to do with the Wii Remote.
I know I had a roommate who, I mean, he didn't get super into it, but I would look over. He'd be playing that game for Wii, and he'd be doing those motions. I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Because it was still when the system was new.
I think Carl has something to say.
That actually happened to me with that game.
Yeah.
I reviewed that for NWR, and yes, that game is actually really, really good.
It is.
It's fun.
So,
yeah.
Play it.
Of course, my friend walked in, and I stopped doing it, but, you know, still.
Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z.
But are there any games that made you do that?
Competitive games? Like,
I'd say Smash Brothers Brawling. I get it sometimes.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, with motion controls and stuff, definitely, like, any kind of, like, competitive game. I mean, there's the ones that actually do the motions, but there's also, like, I know playing, like, Madden and stuff like that with friends, usually, even they use a point-and-click more now, but even still, just having, like, the kind of loose bit of the Wii Remote and the nunchuck, just the Wii Remote, I guess makes it more, like, you'll do stuff like that, as opposed to just being tied down with a controller, which you can really just, like, throw down triumphantly.
I would say that Sin and Punishment made me do lots of things with the Wii Remote and Nunchuck, but they're probably not because I was into the game. They're more because I had been kicked out of it.
All right, thanks for your question. I think we're going to have to wrap up now, right, guys?
We either have a Greg impersonator or Greg in the chat, and he has a question.
Oh, wow. All right. Let's take a chat from the internet.
So your shittiest, who is either Greg Leahy, podcast editor, or an impersonator, says...
I hope it's both.
Is it true that after playing Hawks 2, James feels like an F-18 all the time, even during naps?
It is real, Greg, and yes, I do.
You dream of flying through the clouds, James.
I feel like an F-18.
Johnny, how many prizes do
even
we got left?
Naps.
We have one prize.
We have one
right
prize
now.
Left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's busted.
Yo.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's already got one of these. If he has that shirt, he has one of these DVDs.
Do you have one of the
DVDs?
Oh, come and get it, dude.
Dude,
you gotta get it. Okay, one last very quick question.
Well, I was gonna guess the song.
Oh, what song is it?
It's Sonic Adventure.
You know what? Yeah. He gets my DVD.
Do we have anything else to give away?
You get a DVD, sir. Would you like one? Alright, you get a DVD.
You get a collector's edition from 2002.
Alright, so that's the last question. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
I do want to.
Thank you.
Inverses are awesome. I just want to say that. Thank you so much, guys. You made this whole setup happen.
Yes. Thanks very much to Mike also for playing the music. By the way, if you're not already a subscriber, I would really strongly encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. Every week we do this for like 2+ hours, and it's a little more organized.
More plus. Lots of plus, actually.
More organized, and it sounds great. So it's called Radio Free Nintendo. Search for it in iTunes or find us at the website.
Hi.
Anything else?
NWR Newscast, another podcast that I'm on. I'm not actually on Radio Free Nintendo.
That's right.
And
TYP.
Yes. Radio Trivia. That's right, Radio Trivia. If you like the podcast, if you like the trivia games that you just listened to, we do this every 2 weeks or so in a podcast form, so you can find that on the website as well, or iTunes.
That's right. Okay, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was him.